Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve each other's problems and recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to start the meeting this morning, Shona, do you want to share?
Hi, thanks, Steve. I'm Shona. I'm an alcoholic and really grateful. Thank you, everyone. Very grateful to be here this morning. And I suppose I will share that experience, strength and hope. I drank. I come from an alcoholic family, so they all drank, so it was the norm to drink. And I suppose for me, I drank because I felt different when I drank, and it gave me that relaxed sensation that I could be anything. And from that, though, became a disastrous path. I never felt I fitted into the world, and even though I put on a great big front, the reason was the drinking was all about, one, I loved it, loved the effect, loved what it did, loved how it made me feel. But from that, too, I suffered terrible hangovers, and it put me in positions to be hurt and harmed constantly. And it was a tool that really didn't allow me to grow up in life, and I had lots of people always around me looking after me. And it was always like I moved from probably my parents to partners, and it just continued on and on like that. I was with a partner at the time, Michael, and he would call me a drunk and he'd say, you know, you're really great, Shona, or you're not. And it was like, you know, you'd have either a really great time or you'd have that one drink and it would just set me over the edge. And I heard a lot of people along the way thinking of my great ideas. And it doesn't matter whether I've got a drink or not, and I think that's quite an important part of my recovery, is that I did, even in my drinking, keep it quite safe, even though I was like this rebel without a cause. But when I turned up into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 32 years old, and I went to AA because I had a girlfriend who was in it 6 months prior. But at the same time, I had that partner at home calling me a drunk. And, you know, if he left me, then who would be there to look after me? And that's how I, you know, that's how I played my life out, really, was who's going to look after me, because I don't want to, because it's too hard. And it is incredibly hard for this alcoholic to sort of keep turning up on her life. But recovery has given me those opportunities to keep taking action and turning up in my life. So I turned up into Alcoholics Anonymous in July 1996, and I haven't had a drink since that first meeting. And I went to that meeting broken and still had everything, still had a nice home, two cars in the garage, a job and everything like that. But, man, I was pretty broken inside, and I knew that if I didn't do anything about my drinking, it would just get worse and worse and worse. And I went to the Ōrākei meeting on a Wednesday night, and it changed my life. I walked into that room, and what the sensation was is, this is where I belong. Wow, I finally found where I belong in life, with this room full of people. I have no idea who they are or what they're about, and I have no idea what this program of Alcoholics Anonymous is about. But what it gave me is that sensation of being relieved. And it is that relief of the bondage of self, and relief of, you know, that I could do this without having to drink. I could do life without having to pick up a drink. And that night there was a woman celebrating 15 years of recovery. And she was a really just had such a profound effect on me, because I thought that's who I want to be, and that woman is still alive today and is still sober, and we share the same birthday every year. And then there was another woman who was in the chair for the evening, and she was 6 months ahead of the other person in her recovery, and I just had a connection, and it was suggested to me that I get a sponsor. And when I left that meeting, I said, what do I do next? And they just said, go to another meeting. And so I just went to another meeting. And from that, I then finally learnt sort of the, you know, they're not the rules, but they're sort of the suggested musts. And it was like, go to meeting, don't pick up the first drink, you won't get drunk, and find a sponsor. And then, you know, go through the steps and the traditions and the concepts and do some service. And what I've found throughout my whole journey, I'm 24 years sober now, the hope, experience, strength and hope, you know, is that I have a fantastic life today. I always want more. I'm always going to want more, because that is my disease. It wants me to, it just, it's never quite true what I think. That's probably how I can sort of describe it. It's just always a little bit more exaggerated. It's always a little bit more wanting. It never is quite satisfied. And I've had to learn to fill that hole in the soul through a loving God. And I think that's a really key component to my recovery, has been finding a power greater than myself. And for me today, it's called a loving God. And that was through my sponsor teaching me to have a loving God, because she has a loving God, and I pass that on to my sponsees to really get that thing bigger than me. It mightn't be a loving God, but it has to be bigger than me. And then I intertwine it all through my life today. So I'm always going, thank you to God, because I see the miracles in the details. I mean, I'm doing this program, I'm helping another alcoholic, and I watch women grow and just shine within this program. I know this program works, and I've been here for a while now to see, you know, the miracles just in my life and in other people's lives. I'm there to carry the message. It's given me purpose and hope, and it's given me a tribe. And that's a really important thing, because I never had a tribe. Even when I had great girlfriends and all those things, and through school and everything like that, I always felt disconnected from them. And by being an Alcoholics Anonymous, I get to play out my life with other people who understand me. I don't sit at home and isolate. I pick up the phone today and I talk to other women and men in the fellowship, and I have a good life, and I've learned to get out of the drama, get out of other people's business, try to help that person who needs some help, and just keep on doing what's suggested to me. I've never left Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the only thing I've really turned up on 120% of my life. I don't leave it. I don't think about leaving it. I still do meetings. I've had to seek outside help, which it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, sometimes we do need to seek outside help, and that's pretty cool. And but I still don't leave Alcoholics Anonymous. That's my primary, as I'm an alcoholic. I suffer lots of other isms, but if I pick up a drink, it will lead me down a path I don't ever want to go to. And they talk about the yet, you know, when I came in, I said to my sponsor, I said, but I'm not that bad. And she said, yet. And that was a really big thing. And she said, think of it like a building with an elevator, Shona, and you've just come out at, you know, B1. You haven't quite hit basement 3 or 4 yet. And that was quite a good analogy for me, because my disease thinks I'm different all the time. But the one thing I do know for sure is that I am an alcoholic. I wear this program like a loose cloak. I don't take it too seriously. I try not to take myself too seriously. I've had to learn contempt prior to investigation. I've had to learn that I need to be open-minded. I need to be willing. I need to be willing to change the most, and that's been quite painful at times. I've had to learn to sit on my own and be okay with that because I feel very uncomfortable with self, and it's really probably an inward journey, this whole thing. These last 24 years, it's still a work in progress, and I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm so grateful and relieved that I know what I am today. It's not all these things I used to say, is it this, is it that, what's wrong with me? I'm an alcoholic, and it's good to know where I can get my medicine from. So thank you, Steve, and thanks for everyone for asking me to share and be here today.
Thanks, Shana. Thanks, Shana. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And we have members of our fellowship in this morning, and we're sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Samira. Would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Samira, alcoholic.
Hi, Samira.
And my alcoholism was, and I started drinking when I was 18. I had a drinked a lot and party a lot, and you know, I thought that was the life that I knew for a long time. And so, and yeah, it took from there, and I just, you know, end up drinking daily at night. Every time I wake up, I drink, and for over 15 years, just drinking, and you know, moved to a house like everybody drinks and party within. And yeah, so and after that, I end up getting in trouble with the cops and saying, "Oh, your drinking is out of control and your drinking is unmanageable." And yeah, they kind of locked me out, take me to court, and give me 9 months in prison. 9 months in rehab center. It's a kind of prison thing, but you have to do 9 months, and that was Section 9, they call it. And that's how, and I ended up coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was really sick, and people was worrying about, you know, if I keep drinking, I might die. And I had a rheumatic fever as a kid, and I think that led me to drinking because I had a heart problem and poor me. And yeah, so and after that, and did the rehab center and did, you know, went to meetings, and I have a lot of support and rehab centers and do recovery church every Tuesday. And yeah, and I had and my kid being taken away from me because of my drinking and being a responsible mother. And yeah, and that broke my heart, you know, and seeing my kid that I was supposed to hold him and taken away from me. And but, you know, my journey went really great. I have a lot of support and AA members. And I'm trying, hoping I might help someone else not to go through what I've been through. And, yeah, and I do meetings every day. And, you know, if you're trying to and go to and work or, you know, you need to do a meeting first to feel, you know, something comes out of you feeling really comfortable and, you know. And, yeah, and I have the big book. I read the big book and I do step work. And for over, since 2017, I come to rehab center. And I have my child and friendship with him. And, you know, this journey really saved my life and saved my little boy so he can have a mother in his side. And I kind of realized what I was doing after I put the bottle down. You know, everything was blurry and mentally, healthily. And that, you know, I'm really wishful the AA memberships. I have a lot of great support. I have an NA camps, you know, I don't know what I would do with that then. They, you know, not just saved my life, they did a lot of things for me to realize that my drinking wasn't not the way to go, and it's not you, you know, the drinking just gets out of control on your body. And, you know, I have sponsees that really help me to read the big book. And, you know, I'm trying to, like, I, you know, try to get a job and try to work and trying to be a stable mother for my boy. And I feel great, you know, and I really feel God on my side every day. I pray every day. And I'm really, you know, I don't know how I can say it, but I'm really, and yeah, really, and it's a life of life turn, you know, daily program, do, you know, every day is a new day for me, doing my, and yeah, so I'm really grateful to be here today and try to help other alcoholics to spread.
Thanks, Mara. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We mentioned about the big book or the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and in that book is a chapter called Chapter 5, How It Works, and it outlines the program, and I thought I might read that now. Okay, Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was null until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing, and we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines, and the principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic and the chapter to the agnostic and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent points. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. And B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. So that's the extract out of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, under Chapter 5, How It Works. Now, to continue on with the sharing, Brian, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Brian, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brian.
Even from what I've, before I even start sharing, it's like from what previous speakers, I've heard what I've needed to hear today. My sobriety date's the 4th of March, 1992. And it was in a small town in Queensland, Australia. That's my geographical. I had to go over there to get sober because I was running away from all my troubles as I believed them to be. Since it's based on experience, strength and hope, well, my experience in drinking was very dismal, actually. In my younger years, it was great fun. It was great. I loved it, you know. It gave me release. Like, I could talk, I'd get up and dance. There was a lot of fun involved with drinking, especially with mates. But then it changed. It's like my mates carried on doing what normal, I suppose, what grown-ups start doing. You know, they started growing up, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. I had this, childish, yeah. I just didn't grow up. And a lot of people used to say to me, you know, why don't you grow up? And that was quite devastating because I'd end up drinking more. And I didn't have any responsibilities. I never took responsibility for everything, anything, actually. I suppose it was a recipe for disaster. I had an apprenticeship. I sort of had two apprenticeships. One was a mechanical apprenticeship and the other one was a drinking apprenticeship. And I wasn't very good at either because as I started drinking, my marks in that from my apprenticeship went downhill until such times that I was getting very poor grades for my studies, and I got to that stage where I didn't care. The alcohol seemed to take more concern over my life as such, to work or anything. So I'd take time off work, do what Brian wanted to do. So they talk in the big book about that selfish self-centeredness, and I was very much like that. And sometimes can still be if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, because I believe that this disease, once I put down the drink, I still have it. And there are things that I need to do to keep it at bay. You know, they say that the spiritual life is to be worked on a daily basis. And that's the spiritual, that's the spirit I have today. It's a spiritual, it's not the out of the bottle. It's out of this program that I get this spiritual reprieve or from a God of my understanding. Because when I was growing up and in my earlier years, like, the word God didn't go down well with me. It was like we were at two different ends of the ballpark. And I didn't think that this God of my understanding, it's like Shana was talking about that loving God, I didn't really believe that this God of my understanding cared or even worried about Brian. So I had to make my own path, make my own way. And I tried to be normal. And I've come to realise that normal is a cycle on a washing machine. And no one really is normal, you know. But trying to play that part to the outside world, it's very hard because I was wearing this mask. It was a charade where what you saw on the outside wasn't what was going on the inside. You know, it was like this scared boy in a world that seemed to want to kill me, really. But in some respects, there were a lot of people in my life too that tried to help me, but I didn't listen. Because when you're a know-it-all, you don't listen to anybody. Because you keep going, yeah, I know. And I didn't know. And if I told you I didn't know, then you would know that I didn't know. You know? It's like a paradox. It's weird. But my drinking continued, and it got worse because this disease is you know, it's progressive. It doesn't just stop. It carries on. Mm. And it gets to the stage where... Like, I'd be working night shift and I'd be coming home drinking because that was my night. And then in the afternoon I'd be drinking because it was the afternoon, you know. It's like I would have in my mind, reasons and excuses why I was doing things. And it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, that the main problem of the alcoholic centres in his mind rather than in his body. And I can relate to that immensely. It's like when I start thinking, it's like I come up with some great ideas, I can assure you. And none of them really are great at all. So I find that those intuitive thoughts seem to have more relevance than my thinking. And today I have a sponsor. I had a sponsor when I first came in. He was a man I didn't like, but he imparted the big book to me in pristine condition, and he knew it off by heart, which was great. But he also told me that he said, don't put me on a pedestal, because if I fall, you'll come with me, and how true that was. And he also said that this disease is patient. It's, you know, apart from being cunning, baffling and powerful, he said it's patient. And in his case, it was. Like, I got 2 years sober, and that's, well, prior to that, it was like, when I came in, he was 5 years, and I thought, he's lying. No one can be sober for 5 years. So I can be sober for 5 minutes, you know. So, well, maybe a week. But he showed me that this disease works when it's not, when we stop working, and he showed me what a resentment would do, and he ended up picking up a drink. And I was amazed, because I thought, well, once you stop drinking, that was it. You know, I was very naive to this disease. And what happened after that is, like, I started doing a bit of self-sponsoring. And it didn't work for me, because I wasn't being honest with anybody. I wasn't telling anybody what was going on in my life. And any decisions and actions that, like, I could justify them. And those sort of actions and thoughts put me in a position where I hurt other people. And, like, I forgot to mention that, like, I was married, and my life as a married man, drinking wasn't any good. It was like, when I said I didn't have any responsibilities, I forgot all my responsibilities. I forgot that I was a married man, and I forgot I was a father. I forgot that I was a brother, a son to my mum and dad. You know, it was, all of a sudden, there was nobody but Brian. And it's not a life worth living, really. And I suppose that's what it gets down to. It's like I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. So that was sort of like what it was like. What happened is my wife left me. She had enough sense to get out. And at the time I thought it was harsh. But I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was shown this way of life through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and through other alcoholics who... if you do what we do, you can have what we've got. And that sounds very true. The hope that I have today, and I still have it, you know, it's like I give Alcoholics Anonymous all I can, because Alcoholics Anonymous has given me so much more than I even can imagine. You know, for the small bit that I put in, I get so much out of it. I haven't needed to pick up a drink one day at a time, and I never thought that could be possible. And it's through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and this loving God that Shona was talking about that I have a spiritual awakening. And in doing so, I might be able to help other people. If not, I'm helping myself. But at the same time, I've got a couple of sponsees that work this program, and it's great to see other people get well. Yeah, life has changed through just not picking up a drink and doing what's suggested. And I'll leave it at that. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Brian. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, a couple of things you can do. You can log on to aa.org.nz, and under the button of meetings is a list of all meetings right throughout the Auckland area and up and down the country. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.